So we're finishing up series today. We're at the end of the second quarter of the year. And this series has been about cutting back, about pruning things out of our lives, letting God, the gardener, take even good things out of our lives so that we can be full, have abundance. Now, I'd love it if it was like, oh man, we heard 12 sermons on this, like we've solved it, right? Like we're not stressed, we're not worried, we're not tired, we're just abundant of goodness, right? Some of you are like, well, this last sermon is going to be really good. I'm sure we'll get there, right? Here's the deal. We're going to be on a journey with Jesus this whole time we're on earth, right? And this thing of having to choose even good stuff to let go of so we can take hold of more of Jesus, take hold of loving people the right way, even if it's not a ton of people or a ton of success, it's going to take more than sermons to get us there, right? But I want to wrap it up this today with a pretty simple idea, but I'm trying to come at it in a new way, okay? And it's going to work if you work it. I know we've heard that phrase before, if you've been around AA, right? But we're going to get to somewhere that if you'll choose to live it out, Jesus and God the Father will take you to an abundant life, right? And I can't take you there, but we're hoping right now in this moment, we're here listening, whether online or in the room, we're hoping that Jesus himself is going to come teach us, right? That's what we need. We don't need Jake's best. We need Jesus to come teach us, right? So I'm going to show you something, probably a new idea to you right off the bat, and it's also something you probably don't want to go do. So this first picture I'm going to show you guys is somebody sleeping on their motorcycle, just so tucked up and tiny, right? You know, like, and it's the middle of the day. I don't know the story behind this, but in my mind, like, I never thought of motorcycle and bed as, like, a same thing, right? But this guy's either got so much to do or no place to be or I don't know. But he's decided, like, here's how I'm going to spend these moments during the middle of the day. I'm going to sleep on this motorcycle right here. Sometimes we see something, and it's a brand new thought, and we still don't want to do it. You know, tonight, I bet you're not going to go find a motorcycle and go try to sleep on it, right? Because you see it, and you're like, oh, that's, I never thought of that before, but I still don't want to do it. My hope is as we go through this sermon, you're going to see something in a fresh way, but you're going to say, I do want to go try that, okay? And the other reason I picked this is because the ridiculousness of, like, I got to cram sleep in to my life that's so full that during the middle of the day, I'll just get a little bit of sleep, right? Whether you're sleeping on your motorcycle or not, but a lot of us are so busy or full or chasing stuff that we wind up doing ridiculous stuff, right? We're going to read a passage in Isaiah, and I put it up here because I want you to turn there. Isaiah 46, it's been talking about salvation, coming to God's people, coming to the Israelites, but it's going to shift gears here, and it's going to talk about the Babylonians, who at the time, when Isaiah is prophesying, the Babylonians were big and powerful and successful, and they had some idols. And they had a main big idol it's going to mention here in a minute, and then also an idol of like all the scholars and knowledgeable people, right? And while Babylon's rich and powerful for a little while, it doesn't work out for them is what this passage is going to talk about. And there's going to come a day when the Babylonian Empire gets conquered, and Isaiah prophesies like these big idols that have been a piece of your life, they're going to get carried off when you guys get taken over. And so literally like these big statues or whatever they are, they're going to get loaded onto carts and carried by animals away. These things that are supposed to be gods. So let's read this passage, Isaiah 46. So it says, Bel, talking about one of the gods, bows down. Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. So the image here is these two big gods of the Babylonians are going to be loaded onto the back of like a bunch of oxen and carried away. Let's keep reading. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. So I'm going to pause this for a second here. False religion, chasing after something that's not God, giving yourself to someone who's not God, when things go wrong, that thing becomes an extra burden. On Wednesday night, small group was talking about this verse, and one of the guys said, when I was chasing after meth, it just, when stuff started to go wrong in my life, that was just another thing that was a disaster for me, right? It was worse, right? The thing that he was going to for pleasure or help or in hard times was just one more of the huge problems in his life, right? And whether it's meth or whether it's chasing after success or people's approval or the fancy car or whatever it might be, when your life starts to go wrong, if you've given your heart to something false, that thing is also going to weigh you down, right? So it's not just the Babylonians, when everything was going right for them, they could give a little bit of their time, a little bit of their money to their religion. It fit, their religion fit into their selfish lifestyle. It's when they couldn't handle their own life that they realized what a dead weight their religion was on them, right? Let's keep reading on, verse 2. They stoop down and bow together, talking about these gods. Unable to rescue the burden, they themselves go off into captivity. You see, the things that the Babylonians were worshiping, they couldn't even save themselves, right? And right now, you're probably not worshiping some big silver statue or something. But maybe the little videos you're watching or the people you're chasing after that you're hoping are interested in you or whatever, like maybe they're full of their own mess. And if you actually caught them or caught up to them, they would just be more of a mess in your life, right? Like if you got the thing you're chasing, maybe you realize like this thing can't even solve its own problems. This person can't even help themselves, right? That's what's happening with these idols, right? Verse 3. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob. This is the people of God he's talking to now. All the remnant of the people of Israel. We'll keep reading. You whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born. So see, real relationship with the real God carries us, right? It's not one more burden on our shoulders. God himself carries us. Let's keep reading. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. We'll go on further. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. And here, some of the verbiage gets lost in English, but this idea of like a heavyweight, but that God can handle the heavyweight of even carrying these, anybody, their whole lifetime, even into old age, right? And if you think about somebody their whole life and all the mess that we make and all the bad habits we pick up, and God's willing to say, like, I'll get involved in that mess and carry that person, right? So false religion is just one more burden on people who are already tired. Think about the stuff you've been chasing. And we say, like, I don't worship that thing, but worship typically is, at its core, is just giving attention, right? We really give our heart, our full attention to something, it bends our heart towards that, right? And when we give our full attention to God, like we're worshiping him, right? But if we're turning our attention to other things, our heart gets wrapped up in those things, right? So for yourself, again, does God carry you? Or is your life burdensome, right? All the pressure on your own shoulders. Now, so far, I'm not to brand new ideas, right? Or anything amazing. We're going to sum it up. I read a little commentary in case you're like, this Isaiah stuff, I need it in plain English. Here's the commentator kind of summing it up. He says, when man carries his God, the end is destruction. When the true God carries man, the end is salvation, right? So basically, like, it's going to all go bad for you if you're in charge. And it's going to go great for you if God carries you. I'll tell you something. When I carry my kids, they go wherever I'm going, right? Like, my kids, when I'm carrying them, they never cross the street by themselves. They never do it. You know, they never get to anywhere I don't want them to be, right? If God's carrying you, like, God's setting up the person, people and places you're around, right? The environments, all that, right? If you're getting carried by him, there's a lot that he's in control of in your life, right? You're submitting to that. Sometimes my kids are heavy enough now, they'll lean back on me sometimes and start doing other stuff or start running, and I just set them down. I set them down because I got these little itty-bitty little arms, but I think like God sets us down and we start running in his arms too. Like, okay, like I'm not going to make you come with me, you know? So this idea that God wants to carry us, that God loves us, my guess is if you're here in the pew today, like it's not a brand new idea. I also bet like Skylar and all around the room, right? Anthony in the back, like I bet people are thinking like, yeah, but how do I actually do this? Like I'm living this life where I do want to be closer to God, but it just, I do a little bit and then I kind of go my own way and I do a little bit and I go my own way and it doesn't ever get momentum, right? How do I get into a cycle where it's getting better and better with Jesus? Like, I don't think you can control it to where your life's going to get better and better on the outside, according to everybody else's opinion. But I do think, like, with Jesus, it's possible, like, every year for you to be closer to him. Every year for you to be more like him. Every year for you to be more loving and have more love in your heart. To have more joy inside of you, right? But some of us are like, the years are passing, and it just feels like we're not getting better, right? On the inside. So I want to take you through a couple steps that are in Psalms 85, but I think this is all through the Bible. So if you want to turn there, Psalms 85 is a great psalm, but the very end of it, the last two verses, talk about this two-step process that I think is all through the Bible and Jesus' teachings all through the Bible. How does this relationship with God actually work? So Psalms 85, if you guys will turn there, Psalms is a giant book in the middle. If you just open up your Bible in the middle a couple times, you'll hit Psalms. Psalms 85. Starting at verse 12. It says, the Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. I'm going to pause there for a minute. Very easy to read verses in the Bible and be like, yeah, that makes sense, and just move on. When you have something as like an anchor inside of you, a hope in Jesus, it's different. I was listening to a man at my table downstairs, or the table I was at, and he was talking about how when he was getting out of prison, his whole mind was focused on getting a car. And he had to do all these steps to get a car. But when he got a car, he realized now he had the freedom to go here or here or here or here or see that person. And he knew that person wasn't good for him, but he could control whether he saw him or not. And that the car that he had chased so hard wasn't good for him. And a deer ran into him, or he got into some sort of wreck with a deer. And he told our table, you know, God's not mean, God's not cruel, but God took that car from me for my good because I needed a reset to be back on the path with God. I couldn't handle what that car was doing in my life. And when I had the car, I was in control and it was bad for me. Now, what that guy's describing in different language than the psalm is the same idea of like God's going to give me what's good. Sometimes we don't always see the stuff going on in our life as good. But if you're trying to follow God, God is going to bring goodness into your life. Right? And there's going to be a harvest. Okay, so that's the first step. And it's a big step to have the faith and the hope that whatever's going on in my life, God's involved for good. There might be somebody else hurting me in an evil way. There might be some sickness or disease that just is evil, right? But God's involved. And God's working in your life for good, right? So that's the first part we're going to talk about, that conviction that God's good. Verse 13 talks about another piece, real important. It says, righteousness goes before God and prepares the way for God's steps. Righteousness is like a churchy term, but basically it means doing the right thing that results in right relationships with other people, right? So if you have a cat or a puppy or whatever, and you treat it right, as that dog grows up, you're going to have a right relationship with that dog, right? Like, if you treat a dog good from the time it's little, it's going to treat you good when it's grown up. People are a little more complicated. God's big. But basically, that's the idea of righteousness, is when you do right, it helps there be right relationship. And when we're involved with God, who's perfect, if we're doing our side of the fence right, then there's a good relationship there, right? That's what righteousness is. You do right, and there's good relationship results, right? Now, here's the interesting thing. Some of us have this real vague idea about doing the right thing. As Christians, we know that we don't have to clean ourselves up to come to Jesus, right? Like Jeff was teaching it downstairs, right? You come to Jesus as you are, and he gets involved. He forgives you and starts working on you, right? So we don't have to fix ourselves. to get right with God. But sometimes we go through life, and when we mess up, we ask for forgiveness, and then we kind of putter along through life, and then occasionally we ask for forgiveness, and we wonder, like 20 years later, like, why our family isn't better, or why we're still stressed and anxious, and like the relationship with God doesn't seem to be growing. And if doing the right thing has stayed as like an extra credit in your life, like you're not doing Christianity right, right? Like, it's supposed to work to where, like, yes, there's grace, and you don't fix yourself first, but doing the right thing does matter. And this verse is going to kind of help us unlock it, and I want to use the example of John the Baptist. I'm not going to go to a passage about him, but I think John the Baptist shows us in, like, a stretched-out way how this works. So if you know anything about the story of Jesus, before Jesus came, there was another man, a prophet, who came. And what was prophesied about him was that he would prepare the way for Jesus, right? He'd get people ready for Jesus. Well, when you read the stuff that John talks about, he tells people about Jesus and who he is, but he also tells people to, like, stop doing the wrong thing, start doing the right thing. And he gives them some practical tips. If you follow what John says, it's going to set you up to be able to listen to Jesus. So like in John, I think it's John chapter 3. I could be off on my passages. I know in the Gospel of John, though, there's a time where Jesus goes and teaches in the same area where John the Baptist used to teach. And the people there are like, John the Baptist never did any miracles, but everything he said about Jesus is true. And then it says that many people believed in Jesus. This idea that because they'd heard John, they were ready to go further with Jesus. Right? So like, Jesus is a savior. Jesus is the only one that could forgive them, cleanse them of their sins, right? But there's something about somebody coming to you and saying, Hope, you need to change this in your life. They're like, if Hope will listen to that and do it, she'll be ready to go deeper with Jesus, right? Like, the obedience opens us up to more and more of Jesus. It's not about earning Jesus. It's about opening up your hands so he can, like, take your hand and go somewhere, right? Like, the sin we do, it just, like, closes our eyes and, like, blocks us from God, right? So I'm talking, and I'm seeing a little bit of confusion in some faces. So I've got a story to tell you about a rain jacket. It's pretty simple. It's about how this has worked in my own life. It's not that I'm by any means a perfect person, but I want to talk through how just simply obeying Jesus lets Jesus work on our life. Let's Jesus put the good stuff in our life, right? So Luke chapter 3, verse 1 through 14, if you want to look there, you can. I'm not going to read all those verses to you, but it's a scene where John the Baptist talks to some individuals about what should they do. And one of the things John the Baptist says to people that come up to him, they're like, what should we do? And he's like, if you have two outfits, you should share your clothes with somebody that doesn't have any clothes, right? Basically, like, if you got more than you need, you should help somebody that doesn't have enough. And he specifically mentions clothing. So that had always stuck with me, right? And last week we were talking about being content and not getting all messed up on pursuing money. If you really try to live that stuff out, you start to see the grip that money has on you, right? Like, some of you with substances, like, you never knew how addicted you were until you tried to stop, right? Like, until you really try to stop, you don't know how firm something has on you, right? And I know that in my own life, too. There's all sorts of stuff where I think, like, that's not a problem until I try to not do it at all. And then I realize, like, I can't not do it at all. And then you realize it is a problem, right? So here's the thing about, we all have to make decisions about what clothes we get, what we buy. We've all got our own particular preferences there. So for me, left to my own devices, I'm kind of cheap and frugal, and I don't normally buy myself very nice stuff. But I've gotten really into riding a bicycle, and what I've learned about on the bicycle and riding year-round in Missouri is that there's no such thing as bad weather. There's just bad clothing choices, right? Like, if you, which is like a Finnish phrase, but like, if you dress right, it can be enjoyable to be outside in Missouri at any time, right? At least for a half hour on a bike, right? So when I first was riding the very first little bike I had, I just wore more and more layers when it got cold. And I just was just like, I was like the kid in Christmas Story that like can't put his arms down, you know, and I had giant work boots on and stuff. I was like, looked crazy out there. You know, like my wife was happy that I was far away from her looking like that, right? She didn't want to be seen like this. But along the way, I realized like, oh, they make clothes for all this sort of stuff, right? And so I bought, some years ago, I bought a rain jacket, which I'd never had before because I had winter coats and I just felt like that was enough. Rain jackets are really nice when you're in the rain and it's not cold outside. And when you're in the rain on a bike, it's really nice to have a nice rain jacket, right? Here's something else, though. I knew that passage from John the Baptist. And so when you have a coat that's nicer than you've ever had, and then you meet somebody who doesn't have a coat, it was hard for me, at least, right? And you start to think, like, I'm not obsessed about money. I'm not obsessed about stuff. But then when you don't want to give somebody the coat that you have on, it tells you something about yourself, right? So I was out at this parking lot, right out these east doors. I had my little jacket on. Somebody didn't have a coat. I like begrudgingly like knew this verse. Took off my jacket, like not happy about it, like offered it to the guy. I'm a tiny enough guy. It didn't fit him. You know, he was like, and he like gave it back to me. And I'd like to tell you, like, I felt so bad for that poor guy with no coat. I was happy. Like, I had done the verse and like got off the hook, right? You know, like I don't need to feel guilty, and I get to keep the nice jacket. So when you go through something like that, trying to obey Jesus, it opens up your eyes, right? So the truth in me was, I loved Jesus more than that jacket, but it was a competition. And that's not that great of a place to be. Does that make sense? If I'd never known that verse, I would walk around thinking like, oh, I don't have a problem with jackets, you know? But because I tried to obey something from the Bible, it revealed to me that my heart wasn't free. Does that make sense? Like in the obedience, I started to realize I wasn't free. So that had stuck with me, and I didn't like that, right? I realized like I could grow in that. Has anybody ever had that? Like you go through something, and you're like, I need to get better in that area. So I started praying about it. God's really sweet. And that jacket. So sometimes you buy nice stuff, but not the nicest nice stuff. And it kind of falls apart on you. I've learned that as well. So rain jackets that are kind of nice, but not super expensive, they don't last. So that rain jacket started to like break apart a little bit in the hood. And like other parts of it started to kind of like fray and get messed up. And it was getting messed up, and I was noticing it getting messed up, kind of sad about it, not liking it as much. And then I ran into another person in the middle of like a downpour, a lady this time, who's a little bit smaller, and she didn't have a coat. And she's sitting, it's one, you know, the library was closed, but she's sitting in front of the library just in the middle of a downpour trying to use the Wi-Fi. And so I gave her that jacket, right? And when I gave it to her that time, I'd been praying about the jacket, trying to get my heart better about it. But when I gave it to her, I felt good about giving it to her this time. And I'd like to say it's because I matured so much. I actually felt like God like made it like a half step for me. I was praying about it later, and I realized like, God, that jacket started to fall apart like just a week or two before I gave it away to that lady. Not like totally fall apart, but like started to fray and stuff. I realized, like, I think you were trying to make it easier on me to give it away. Which is, I mean, again, like, Jake, you're a pretty crummy person, right? You know? I mean, like, just get a little more, less miserly, right? Like, a little more generous. But, yeah, Daniel gets it. So, but here's the thing. Like, God will take us right where we're at, and he'll baby step us to freedom, right? So I'd like to tell you, like, man, I just went out and bought a nice jacket, and I've already given it away. That's not what I did. I went to the store, tried to buy another one. Since the last 5 years or whatever have happened with inflation, the jacket was three times what I remember paying for it. So I was like, I can't give that away. So I thought, like, I better not buy it because I can't give it away. Which, so I know that sounds like a ridiculous thing. I actually think a lot of what's holding us back with Jesus is we don't have that sort of humility. Like, I went out of the store and didn't buy the jacket because I knew I couldn't give it away. I was like, if I have that jacket, I'm not going to be able to follow John the Baptist's stuff. So I just better not have it. It's like, think about it. With the person that you're wanting to date, like, are you going to be able to follow Jesus' rules with that person? If not, like, maybe you shouldn't get started, right? Or with whatever's going on in your life, right? I mean, like, don't abandon your own kids or something. But if it's something you're not committed to, like, have the humility to say, like, am I really up for doing this thing Jesus' way? Like, this weekend, I'm solo parenting, right? Like, Chrissy's out of town. And I had to choose to have a lot less than I'm going to get accomplished this weekend. Because I realized, like, I can't be a patient dad and get very much done. So I'm just going to have to not get very much done, right? You just have to have the humility to say, this is where I'm at. I'm trying to do it Jesus' way. I got to realize, like, I'm not a professional at some of this, right? Okay, so on the jacket side, here's one other little tip on that. I started looking at thrift stores and estate sales. I've got a jacket that was nice for like $2. And it was easy to give away. I already gave it away, right? You know, like, it was, and it's a much better way to live, right? Like, to live at, I know God wants me to be generous. Let's set my life up in a way that it's easy to follow him, right? I'm not saying that no one should have a nice jacket. Like, you could probably handle having a nice jacket. What I'm saying is, when you look at the commands that God gives us and you try to do them, Jesus will set you free from the stuff that's holding you back, right? I want to be the type of person when I see somebody who needs something, I can meet the need and be happy about it, right? Where I can share and be happy. And like, Jesus has put me in a spot where like, now I can do that. Does that make sense? And like, if you will follow the things that Jesus says to do, he'll show you like what needs to get cut out. What can you not handle? But if you keep going through life being like, I bet I can do it fine. I bet I can handle this. That's a lie. That I bet I can handle this. Like, that's how Satan talks to us, right? You know, Jesus talks to you with like, you better do it my way and I'll help you, right? You know? So real quick, I got to jump us ahead to a couple verses or a couple George MacDonald quotes. George MacDonald is my favorite author of all time. He's amazing. C.S. Lewis loves him. Here's a little quote from him. He said, had he done as the master told him, he would soon have come to understand obedience is the opener of eyes. Real quick on this idea. Sometimes we think like obedience is all about pleasing God. God wants us to obey because it's good for us. And when you start obeying, you start seeing stuff as it really is. You're blind when you're disobeying. And when you start doing the right thing, you start actually seeing what's really going on. Okay? Real quick, next thought. This is the very end of probably my favorite book by George MacDonald, but Fantasies. But at the very end of it, the character goes through all this stuff, but he has a conclusion kind of like Psalms 23. He says, yet I know that good is coming to me, that good is always coming, though few have at all times the simplicity and courage to believe it. So just like that car story, if you trust that God's got good things ahead for you, then it's easier to obey. Because you're like, God's going to take care of me. All the fear of, am I enough? Or am I going to have enough if I do this? It goes away when you realize, like, God's going to take care of me. And I put it in a little graph form for you. This is receive and obey. We just do that over and over again. In Jesus' language in John chapter 10, it's listen and follow. But it's the same idea of like, God gives us something good, and then we do the next right thing with God, and it opens us up to receive more from God. It makes us capable for him to give us more, right? And then we receive and we obey. If you keep doing that, you're not going to go through years anymore and think like nothing's really getting better. Every year that you say like, I'm obeying Jesus more than I used to, and God's been good to me in ways that he's never been good to me before, it's going to keep going. Deeper and deeper and deeper, right? So to get practical here in our last couple minutes, I've got the Gospels up here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're here today and you're like, man, I want to know what to do next, here's a challenge that you could do. I've done this before with the Gospel of Mark, but you could do it with any of the Gospels. So take a Gospel. If you want to skip the genealogies and that sort of stuff, skip to like Matthew 3 or Luke 3 or something. Read a chapter in the morning. Pray about, like, God, what could I do to obey Jesus in some way, something that fits that chapter. And then hopefully you go through the day and you do obey it. But then the next morning, if you think back over your day and you're like, I didn't actually do anything about that, there's no reason for you to read something new. Read the same thing you read yesterday and try to follow it. Now, what I had experienced when I was doing this with the Gospel of Mark, I was stuck on one part of Mark for like 3 weeks, which is kind of ashamed of yourself as you're facing that. Like, I haven't applied anything from this again, but it's easy to get busy. It's easy to forget about it. And it's nice to at least see that about yourself. Man, it's been 3 weeks of me being too busy to do the stuff that Jesus has shown me. That's not a healthy place, but it's, if you're sick, it's good to at least know it, right? It's good to at least know, like, I'm not applying. What's really unhealthy is to be educated beyond your obedience, is what Pastor Bob would call it, right? Where you know a whole bunch of stuff, and you keep gobbling up more and more stuff, and you're not doing anything different. So, like, just slow it down. Jesus is in no rush with you. Jesus would love it if you would just obey him in a fresh way each day, right? Like, that's plenty. 365 steps of obedience in this next year, he'd be happy. I shouldn't talk for him, but my guess is he'd be real happy if you would just do one thing he told you each day from the Bible, right? Over time, you're going to get a feel for his Holy Spirit, right? You're going to be talking through, and he's going to tell you more throughout the day. But it's easy to just start with what he said right on the pages of the Bible and do it the best you understand it. And he's going to be there with you, right? And over time, he's going to show you, like, you better not buy that thing because you can't handle it, Jake. Or you better not go with those people because you're not ready for it, Jake, right? You're going to be led into some stuff getting cut out of your life so you can be like Jesus in the stuff that remains. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to remain in you, like you talk about in John 15. Help us to obey your commands so we can remain in your love. Thank you for your grace. It's in your name we pray. Amen.